On this Sunday night, states of emergency, the devastating aftermath of flooding in West Virginia, dozens dead, hundreds of homes destroyed, while in California, an army of firefighters tries to bring a deadly wildfire under control. In the lead, Hillary Clinton ahead of Donald Trump in our latest NBC News poll, as the candidates argue about Britain's vote to leave the EU. Roller coaster nightmare, a derailment at a theme park sends riders plunging, paying the price. The soaring cost of prescription drugs forcing many Americans to make a tough choice. And holy work, we are with teams preserving history at the site many believe to be the tomb of Jesus. Nightly News begins now.
From NBC News World Headquarters in New York, this is NBC Nightly News with Kate Snow.
Good evening. Thousands of people on opposite sides of the country are dealing with the aftermath of devastating natural disasters tonight. The images out of West Virginia are haunting, a muddy mess where homes once stood. At least two dozen people lost their lives and many residents have lost everything. Thousands remain without power tonight. The president today declared a major disaster in that state. And out west, it's fire causing the heartache. The Erskine Fire in California has now scorched more than 36,000 acres, and as of this morning, was only 10% contained. We have both disasters covered, starting with Morgan Radford on the ground in West Virginia. Morgan?
Kate, 300 National Guard troops have already touched down here in West Virginia, and we are standing in the heart of it. This is Clendenin. You can see where crews have been toiling away behind me, this mud washing into that home. And that home, Kate, is one of 500 across the state of West Virginia that have already been damaged or completely destroyed.
Tonight, floodwaters receding, revealing what looks like a ghost town. Roads caked in mud, leading to families like this one who have lost everything.
43 years of stuff just being thrown out. It's hard.
Pastor Charles LaRue and his wife Tina run a small church. Their home, just behind it, completely flooded.
I don't know if I can save the pictures or not.
All your furniture is ruined.
Yeah, all of the furniture is gone.
Before the flood, they were collecting donations for those in need.
We had just gotten in like 6 bags of clothes, and they're all ruined.
But just as quickly as the floodwaters rose, new donations poured in.
We'll set them up here and organize it like the bleach here, food here.
There's sometimes you need to be the one who receives, but you can't stop giving.
Just 2 miles down the road, Lisa Atkinson's home in shambles.
You can see clear up past the...
Oh, wow.
It shows.
I mean, there's mud caking the bottles of soda.
Now, she's staying here with 9 other people all under one roof.
I don't know what I would do without these people.
The family of her deceased partner, whose ashes she can't find. These families among the hundreds beginning the long road to recovery. Thousands of homes across West Virginia still don't have power. President Obama declaring it a federal disaster. In areas where authorities haven't yet reached, neighbors are filling in the gap, rebuilding homes and rebuilding hope.
It's a poor little town. It'll never be the same again.
Morgan Radford, NBC News, Clendenin, West Virginia.
I'm Gotti Schwartz in South Lake, California, where crews are having to sift through all of the damage looking for casualties. They're going to be using cadaver dogs to search clear out to those mountains.
It's a careful search for hotspots and human remains. This is the aftermath of California's deadliest and most destructive fire this year. 200 homes and buildings gone, at least 2 people dead, and hundreds left with nothing.
I lost everything I own, literally everything I own.
At this checkpoint, emotions are running high. A woman comforted by an officer after learning her mother has survived.
My mom is okay. My mom is okay. My brother lost everything, but my mom is okay.
In a church parking lot, we meet Carl and Anita Conklin, who are staying in their RV.
I'm praying for all the people that have been involved in this that have gotten hurt. Unlike my husband, we are so blessed. We couldn't do without the support of this church.
They once lived in a place they called Happy Land. Now they are grateful to have escaped the flames.
The good Lord's the only reason I'm alive.
At Sunday service, they are thinking of their neighbors.
Some of you are homeless right now.
While the pastor leading the sermon is worried about another member not in attendance, a woman in her 90s. Today, her church family is praying that she is safe. Gotti Schwartz, NBC News, Southlake, California.
We turn to politics now and our new NBC News Wall Street Journal poll that shows Hillary Clinton widening her lead over Donald Trump with a little over 4 months to go before the election. Kristen Welker has the latest.
Hillary Clinton is back on the trail, marching in New York's Gay Pride Parade today. And in Indiana, speaking out for the first time about Britain's decision to leave the EU, Clinton using the moment to paint Donald Trump as a volatile leader without mentioning him by name.
Bombastic comments in turbulent times can actually cause more turbulence. And who put the interests of the American people ahead of their personal business interests.
The Clinton campaign has been lambasting Trump for suggesting in Scotland this weekend the market volatility caused by Brexit will help his golf course there thrive.
When the pound goes down, more people are coming to Turnberry.
Today, Clinton pounced.
No one should be confused about America's commitment to Europe. Not an autocrat in the Kremlin, not a presidential candidate on a Scottish golf course.
This, as our latest NBC News Wall Street Journal poll, shows Clinton leading Trump by 5 points, 46-41%, slightly up from her 3-point lead last month. Another poll has Clinton with a more commanding 12-point lead. Trump spent the weekend promoting his businesses in Scotland while his newly installed campaign manager played defense on Meet the Press today.
First of all, Mr. Trump is an international businessman, so that when he says he's going to bring real change to the country, voters believe him.
And Trump is still struggling to unify the party. Today, the Senate's top Republican sidestepped questions about Trump's ability to lead.
Look, it'll be up to the American people to decide.
Clinton is working to unify her own party, and tomorrow she'll get some help from progressive Senator Elizabeth Warren. The two will campaign together for the very first time in Battleground, Ohio. Kate.
Kristen Welker tonight. Kristen, thanks. And as we head into the Monday after Britain's vote to leave the European Union and the fallout that followed, all eyes are on the financial markets. Keir Simmons is following the next moves from London. Keir?
Good evening, Kate. Britain is still feeling the aftershocks from this political earthquake. Secretary John Kerry visiting both Brussels and Britain tomorrow, urging the UK and European Union to limit the damage from what will likely be a messy divorce, saying it's important to provide as much stability and as much certainty as possible. But UK lawmakers are now vying to seize the leadership of both main parties after David Cameron announced he would resign. And leaders in Scotland are threatening to block the UK from leaving the European Union. While online, a petition calling for a new referendum has grown to more than 3 million signatures. Against this backdrop, the Secretary of State's visit is partly aimed at calming global markets, traders bracing themselves for more turbulence after Friday's staggering losses. Kate?
Keir Simmons in London tonight. Keir, thank you. Another story that we're following out of the UK, a harrowing afternoon at a theme park in Scotland where a roller coaster derailed, injuring 10 people, most of them children. We get details now from Lucy Kavanaugh.
In Scotland, the chaotic aftermath of an amusement park accident. A roller coaster flying off the rails, plummeting at least 20 feet, crashing into a ride below.
Oh my God.
10 people injured, 8 of them children.
Hey guys, can you just help me with the bike, please?
Rescue workers rushing to the scene, shocked families looking on, helpless. On social media, photos of the terrifying aftermath, including this, what appears to be one of the coaster's wheels. Never been so scared in my life, wrote an eyewitness. It's like something out of a horror film. Police shut the park down after today's terror. A happy summer day turned into a nightmare. Lucy Kafanov, NBC News, London.
Celebration and sadness at Pride events around the country today as the LGBT community remembered those killed 2 weeks ago in the massacre in Orlando. The largest event was here in New York, and Ann Thompson was there.
A wave of emotion flooded the streets of Manhattan from the edge of Midtown to Greenwich Village, the largest gay pride parade ever. Traditionally artistic and outrageous, this year, it was something more.
What's different about being here today?
We've been attacked.
The anguish of the massacre at Orlando's Pulse nightclub 2 weeks ago still vivid. Remembered with a moment of silence and throughout the week. Constant reminders of the 49 victims.
We're here now together to show that we love and that love will overcome hate.
Pulse nightclub owner Barbara Poma rode on the lead float, cheered by people who said just being here was an act of defiance.
Standing here today, what are you telling the world?
That we're not afraid.
Orlando United Pride events around the world. On Reforma Boulevard in Mexico City, victims' pictures carried in Chicago. A strong, visible police presence in San Francisco and events across the country. There was no specific threat here in New York City, but police took no chances. They marched past the Stonewall Inn, where a police raid ignited the gay rights movement. This weekend, President Obama declared it a national monument.
I grew up never thinking any of this would be possible. Now to be able to march down here, going over the national monument, it's amazing.
47 years later, some members of the New York Police Department wore rainbow flags.
Now also today, Pope Francis said the Catholic Church should apologize for the mistreatment in the past of gays and to any group where the church could have defended people, but did not. Kate?
Ann Thompson here in New York. Ann, thank you. At a far different kind of rally mayhem today in Sacramento, California, outside the state capitol building, a big fight broke out between members of white supremacist groups and counter-protesters. At least six people were stabbed. Two of them are reported to be in critical condition. The Supreme Court is expected to issue its final decisions of the term tomorrow. One of the most closely watched cases involves abortion and a restrictive Texas law. 12 other states have adopted similar restrictions. More tonight from Justice Correspondent Pete Williams.
Valerie Peterson of Austin was devastated when her doctor told her the son she was carrying had developed severe problems and would live at most a few minutes after birth.
I just knew that I wouldn't be able to emotionally handle carrying a baby, that I knew he wasn't going to survive.
But she says it was so hard to get into an abortion clinic in Texas quickly enough that she ended up having to go to Florida. Since Texas passed a tough new law 3 years ago, the number of abortion clinics in the state has gone from 42 to 19 and could drop to 10. Abortion clinics must meet the same medical construction standards as walk-in surgical centers, and clinic doctors must have hospital admitting privileges. Sponsors said it would protect patients.
Our objective is to make sure that we provide strong facilities that meet those minimal common sense standards for women's health.
But opponents say the law's sponsors wanted to stop abortions.
What they did instead was to go a roundabout way to make it impossible. They couldn't make it illegal, so they attempted to make it impossible.
When the case was argued, the court's liberals were clearly skeptical. Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg asked about the large number of abortions that require only pills.
What is the benefit of having an ambulatory surgical center to take two pills when there's no surgical procedure at all involved?
And Justice Anthony Kennedy, likely the deciding vote, said the law has produced a side effect.
This law has really increased the number of surgical procedures as opposed to medical procedures, and that this may not be medically wise.
If there's no majority to uphold the law or strike it down, the court could send it back for more fact-finding about how it works. A 4-4 tie would leave the law in effect, but set no national precedent, Kate.
Pete Williams at the court tonight. Thanks so much, Pete. Still ahead on this Sunday night, the soaring price of prescription drugs, what's behind it and what you can do. Also, inside a renovation project like no other, 200 years in the making. If you're one of the millions of people who take prescription drugs, you may have noticed that prices are on the rise. A recent investigation found that almost one-third of Americans have seen a jump in the past year. It's forcing some to make tough choices, as we hear from Tom Costello.
Sherry Ackley never thought gardening could be risky, but after suffering severe allergic reactions from bee stings and insect bites, doctors told her she should always carry a life-saving EpiPen. The trouble, she says, she can't afford the $525 price tag.
So it's a crapshoot. Do you spend the money and hope you don't need it, or do you go without it? and pray to God that you don't need it.
A new Consumer Reports survey has found roughly 30% of all Americans have been hit with pharmaceutical price hikes in just the past year, up $63 on average, in some cases up $500, forcing some Americans to cut corners.
When they did fill their prescription, and many times they didn't, but when they did, they may not take the drug as it was prescribed for them. They shared medications, they split pills when they shouldn't.
It's not illegal. Drug companies can charge whatever they want. The pharmaceutical industry tells NBC News there are many factors that may go into the price of a medicine, including development costs, how well a drug works, and whether it helps reduce other healthcare costs. The advice for patients: ask your doctor for the least expensive prescriptions. Most patients don't. And compare prices at pharmacies and online. GoodRx.com promises to save customers up to 80% on their meds. Last fall, a new CEO suddenly raised the price of a life-saving drug, Daraprim, for AIDS and cancer patients by 5,000%, from $1,350 to $750 per pill.
And we're certainly not the first company to raise drug prices.
Martin Shkreli has since been arrested on unrelated securities fraud charges and has parted ways with the company, which insists most patients pay far less for the medication. As for the $525 EpiPen, Mylan Pharmaceuticals says it does offer assistance for patients who qualify, and it's committed to working with customers and payers to find solutions to meet their needs. But Sherry Ackley has decided to take her chances and go without the EpiPen.
I have to be more cautious because of that fear that something would happen.
Making a potentially life or death decision based on dollars and cents. Tom Costello, NBC News, Washington.
And there is word tonight that Pat Summitt, the legendary Tennessee women's basketball coach, may have taken a turn for the worse. Summitt has been struggling, you may recall, with Alzheimer's disease for 5 years. Her family says the last few days have been difficult and asked for prayers. 4 years ago, Summitt was honored with the Presidential Medal of Freedom. And up next, on the job in Jerusalem, the repairs going on at one of the world's holiest sites. Finally tonight, a most unusual and long-awaited repair job is going on in Jerusalem at the site many believe holds the tomb of Jesus. Chief Foreign Correspondent Richard Engel got an exclusive look.
In Jerusalem's Church of the Holy Sepulchre stands, many faithful say, Christ's tomb. It's long been crumbling, intervention impossible because of ancient and passionately felt religious struggles. Now, for the first time in 200 years, the tomb is being renovated. Architect Theodosios Mitropoulos and a team of specialists are removing rotten plaster and stone and will drill titanium support rods into the walls surrounding the tomb.
So this is the most sensitive place of all, the actual tomb of Christ.
Yes, exactly. Yes.
Even the slab covering Christ's burial place will be lifted.
It was an agreement, and that agreement was in details.
Custody of the tomb is shared by the Roman Catholic, Greek Orthodox, Armenian Orthodox, and three other Christian denominations. But seemingly simple disagreements over who gets to worship here at which time of day have sometimes led to brawls. So there's a long tradition of leaving things exactly as they are.
You see that ladder? It was put out below that window outside the church during a much earlier renovation. But then the different Christian orders couldn't decide who had the right to move it. It was first recorded in this spot in the 1700s. And except for a few very brief occasions, it's been there ever since. It's now called the Immovable Ladder.
But this time, the immovable is being moved. Proof negotiations in the Holy Land can work. They just take a long time. Richard Engel, NBC News, Jerusalem.
And that is NBC Nightly News for this Sunday night. Lester Holt will be here tomorrow. I'm Kate Snow reporting from New York, and I'll see you tomorrow on MSNBC. For all of us here at NBC News, have a great night.